Okay, so what we're going to do this evening, well, we're going to hear from Chaitanya Charitamrita, but first, I wanted to chant the prayers of the Lord Jashingadev for the protection of all of our devotees in Ukraine. As you're probably all aware, as you're probably all aware, as you're probably all aware, there's some problem with the video. Okay. As you're probably all aware that Ukraine has been invaded, and we're not going to make any political statements right now, but Ukraine has been invaded. And as a result of that, we have literally maybe 10,000 devotees in Ukraine, especially Kiev, which is the main city there, and in other places. And so far the devotees, as far as my information goes, are safe. But you never know what's going to happen, because there's bombs flying through the air, there's airplane attacks and all sorts of things like that. So we're going to chant the prayers to the Lord Jashingadev, and then I'll show a short video I got from one of the devotees there. This prayer to Lord Jashingadev is for the protection of the Vaishnavas there in Ukraine. And, whoops. Somehow or other, the camera is going haywire. Okay. See the video. Let me just let it. Alright, I think I'm gonna have to turn off my background. Virtual background. It's still doing that. Okay. I am going to go off the air for a second, and then go back on. Yeah, sometimes I have to reboot the computer to do this. Okay, so we're going to go off the, well, there I am again. Anyway, if I have any more trouble, I'll go off the air and back on. With a video. time, what the problem would be. Here we go. It's just set the parameters a little bit differently here. Okay, that will probably be better. Okay, so just to start again, we are chanting for the protection of the devotees in Ukraine, because the devotees are being attacked. Oh, not just the devotees, the whole country is being attacked, massively attacked by the Russian army. And we're just praying that these devotees will be safe and Krishna will protect in the main city of Kiev. And in Kiev, there's a big temple. It's practically, I think it's the biggest temple in Europe. And they have two stories of the temple that are underground. And so that gives protection to the devotees. The temple is actually in the middle of the city. So let's chant the prayers to the departed. Now let's chant the prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev for the protection of the devotees.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
sing your name. We'll sing your name. We'll sing your name. Satashi Shimad is divine grace. Avaya Chantanada Vaktivadana Gosami Srila Prabhupad Kijai Eskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupad Kijai Ant Koti Vaishnav Vrind Kijai Namacharya Srila Kailas Thakur Kijai Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrindakijat Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikopada Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giddi Govardhan Kijai Vrindavaram Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagatasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Lasadevi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindakijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya. Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachari. Nivashesha Shinyabadi Paschacha Deja Tarni. So, first I'd like to show just a very short video of one of the devotees in Ukraine, in the capital, Kiev, right in front of the temple. And this video was shot this morning. So, let's share the screen on this. Hold on a second. And we should hopefully be able to share the screen. Okay. All right, I'm going to use a different video player for this. Some of the video players don't work with the screen sharing. Give me one second.
Especially for English.
Let's see if this works. Screen. I'll try a different video player. Hold on a second. This gets a little funny sometimes.
Especially for English.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Speaking devotees, I'm Rajagopal Das from Ukraine, from Kyiv. Behind me you can see the biggest temple in Europe, Hare Krishna Temple. And many devotees from different countries asking me what is going on, what is the situation in Kyiv. And now is 25th, morning 25th of February. And now more or less situation among devotees is stable, no victims. You see first floor or ground floor anyway. We are preparing our temple just for bombing, potential bombing. And Of course, everyone is afraid, everyone is disturbed, and we are very grateful to you, all the devotees, for your prayers, for your mercy, and we really want to ask you for your blessings, just for remembering Krishna. We absolutely do not know what is going on, because we do not trust our news, but it is really dangerous. Every
morning, every day, sirens are loudly chanting their mantras around the Kiev, and as far as we know, that the Kiev, capital of Ukraine, is the main point of Putin. So at this moment, everything is stable. I hope that by Krishna's mercy, we will keep our Krishna consciousness and can be helpful to
Srila Prabhupada in preaching in this very we are very grateful to you, all the devotees, for your prayers, for your mercy, and we really want to ask you for your blessings, just for remembering Krishna. We absolutely do not know what is going on, because we do not trust our news, but it is really dangerous. Every morning, every day, sirens are loudly chanting their mantras around the Kiev, and as far as we know, that the Kiev, capital of Ukraine, is the main point of Putin. So at this moment, everything is stable. I hope that by Krishna's mercy, we will keep our Krishna consciousness and can be helpful to Srila Prabhupada in preaching in this very panic situation which is around among the population of Ukraine. So please let us receive your blessings just to be merciful instruments in the hands of Srila Prabhupada during this dangerous time. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay. So I think everyone saw that video. So we definitely need to pray for all the devotees there. So then we're going to get on to our study of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Jaya Jaya Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're continuing our study with chapter 24 of the Majjhalila of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we're on text, I believe, 215. And this chapter is entitled The 61 Explanations of the Atmarama Verse. So let's share the screen and get on with the business at hand. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Okay, text 215, explanations of the Atmarama verse. There's 61 explanations of this particular verse based upon the understandings of each individual word and the permutations between the different understandings of each individual word in the Atmarama verse. So, let's go on. Karmanyasmin anavrashe dumadumrat manambhavan apachyati govinda padapadmasavam madhu. We have just begun performing this fruit of activity, a sacrificial fire, but due to the many imperfections in our action, we are not certain of its result. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, Govinda, which you are distributing. Of course, that's from the Bhagavatam. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 118.12 was spoken by Suta Goswami at the meeting of great sages at Naimisharanya. The great sages were headed by Shanaka, and Suta Goswami was speaking of the glorious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at that meeting. At that time, all the rishis assembled there neglected to complete the ritualistic ceremonies because there was no positive assurance of the results. All the performers were coated with black ash due to the large amount of smoke coming from the fire. So, of course, they were performing this ritualistic ceremony for the benefit of all the living entities in Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, guess what? Ritualistic ceremonies like these, different types of fire sacrifices, are not that effective. What's actually effective in Kali Yuga? Ekon Dharma. There's one Dharma, Krishna Nama Sankirtan. The chanting of the Lord's holy names. Everything else is secondary and meant to support the chanting of the holy names. So, of course, Suta Goswami came and sort of rectified the scenario by speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Suta Goswami, of course, was the son of Romaharshana Suta. Romaharshana Suta was killed by Balaram because he didn't properly pay respect to Balaram. And so the sages at Naimisharanya guaranteed Suta Goswami, the son of Romaharshana Suta, a very long life so he could complete the Bhagavatam and preach Krishna consciousness. Tapasvi pravritti yata deha rami hoya sadhusange tapachadi shri krishna bhajya. The tapasis, those who undergo severe austerities and penances to elevate themselves to higher planetary systems, are also in the same category. When such persons come in contact with a devotee, they give up all those practices and engage in Lord Krishna's service. So here, in the first verse we read today, you're talking about people who engage in ritualistic sacrifices, and they give up all those ritualistic sacrifices when they hear about Krishna's pastimes, instructions, qualities, form. And here in this particular verse, those who engage in austerities give up all those practices when they come across Krishna's transcendental forms. Of course, that's the whole meaning of the Atmarama verse. Atmarama means those who are self-satisfied in their activities, self-satisfied in their body, self-satisfied spiritually, they're all attracted to Krishna's service. And basically, if they're not already engaged in Krishna's service, they give up everything else to engage in Krishna's service. Okay. Yapada seva viruchis tapasvinam ashesha janmo pachitam malam diaha sajakri shinot janvaham edati sati yatapatangusta vinishrishtak sadit. The taste for loving service is like the water of the river Ganges, which flows from the feet of Lord Krishna. Every day that taste diminishes the results of sinful activities acquired over a period of many births by those who perform austerity. This is the quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 4.21.31. Deha rami sarvakama sava atmarama Krishna kripaya Krishna bhaje chadi sarvakama. As long as one labors under the bodily conception, he must fulfill volumes and volumes of material desires. Thus a person is called Atmarama. When such an Atmarama, because he's taking pleasure in the body, is favored by the mercy of Krishna, he gives up his so-called self-satisfaction and engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Stanavilashi tapasi stito ham tvam praptak prapta vandeva munindra guyam kacham vichin vanapi divya ratnam swamin gritarsmi paramya nayache. I believe that's Dhruva Maharaj's statement. Let's see if I'm right. Oh, yes, I was right again. When he was being blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva Maharaj said, "Oh my Lord, because I was seeking an opulent material position, I was performing severe types of penance and austerity. Now I've gotten you, who are very difficult for the great demigods, saintly persons, and kings to attain. I was searching after a piece of glass, but instead I have found a most valuable jewel. Therefore I am so satisfied that I do not wish to ask any benediction from you." I believe it's from the Hari Bhakti Shudaya. Let's see. I was right. This verse is from the Hari Bhakti Shudaya 7:28. In other words, Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. And Krishna granted that to him. But when he saw Krishna, he forgot about all of his desires and said, you know, what I was looking for was useless, just broken glass in comparison to valuable jewels. Echariyata sahari lati sharta aratinarta shuna paramasamarta. In addition to the 19 meanings of the verse mentioned previously, there are these four further meanings when the word Atmaram is meant to take to mean those laboring under the bodily conception. This brings the total to 23. Now here are another three meanings about Marama, which are very suitable. The three further meanings of the verse are understood when the word cha is tend to mean in due course. Two, the word cha is taken to mean eva, and the word api to mean censure. And three, the word nigrantha is taken to mean one who is very poor without money. Cha shabde samuchaye ararthakaya atmaramascha muniascha krishnerevacaya. As mentioned above, the word cha can be used to mean aggregate. According to this meaning, all the atmaramas and munis engage in Krishna's service. Besides aggregate, there's another meaning of the word cha. Nigrantha hana hihanapi nirha dharane ramascha krishnascha yatavihara vane. The word nigrantha can be used as an adjective, and a pi can be used in the sense of certainty. For instance, ramascha krishnascha means that both Rama and Krishna enjoyed walking in the forest. So that's just an example of how the word cha can be used in the P. Because it is said that both Rama and Krishna enjoy wandering in the forest, it is understood that both of them are enjoying their tour within the forest. Cha shabde anvachaye artakahi hara bato viksham atagam chanaya yaiche prakara. The word cha can also present a secondary thing to be done at the same time. This way of understanding the word cha is called unbong chayi. An example is, O brahmachari, go out to collect alms and at the same time bring in the cows. Krishna manane muni krishne sarvada bhajaya atmarama pivaje kona artakaya. Saintly persons who are always meditating upon Krishna are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. The atmaramas are also engaged in the Lord's service. That is the indirect import or understanding. So the unvachaya, this is very technical, I'm not expecting anyone to remember it. Meaning of the word cha indicates that between the two words compounded by the word cha, one is given more importance and the other is considered subordinate. For example, O brahmachari, please go out and collect alms and at the same time bring in the cows. In this statement, the collection of alms is of the first importance and the second business of collecting the cows is subordinate. Similarly, one who always meditates upon Krishna is mainly a devotee of Krishna, engaged in his devotional service. Other atmaramas are subordinate in devotional service. Cha ivarte maniyahiva krishne revasya atmarama piyapigarha artakaya. The word cha can also be used to indicate the certainty that only saintly persons are engaged in rendering devotional service to Krishna. In the combination Atmarama Api, Api is used in the sense of censure. Very, very technical here. Nigrantaha nahedunara visheshana ararata shuna yaiche sadhura sangama. The word nigrantha can be taken as an adjective meaning, Muni and Atmarama. There's another meaning which you may hear from me indicating association with a devotee. Now I shall explain how it is that through the association of devotees, even a nigrantha can become a devotee. This is very interesting. Because basically, most of us are nigranthas. It means illiterate, basically. Or uncivilized. Nigrantha shabde kahitabe vyari nirdana sarusange sehakare shikrishna vachana. The word nigrantha, when combined with api, used in the sense of certainty, indicates a person who is a hunter by profession or who is very poor. Even such a person engages in Lord Krishna's devotional service if he associates with a great saint like Narada. So, of course, there's that story of Magrari, which we'll tell very briefly. Magrari was a hunter who half-killed the animals because that was his family tradition. And he was approached by Narada, who had previously set the animals who he had trapped free. And Narada asked him, "Why don't you fully kill the animals?" And he said, "Because it's my family tradition. I enjoy half-killing the animals and seeing them writhe in pain." So Narada Muni said, "Well, here is your future." And he showed him a virtual reality experience of what he would endure in the future. And that virtual reality showed the hunter that in the future he would be attacked by these very same animals and tortured by these very same animals. The hunter said, "Well, I don't want that future, Narada. What should I do?" Narada said, "Take up Krishna consciousness and chant." And he became a great devotee and became such a great devotee that later on, when Narada Muni came, this hunter, Magrari, did not even want to step on ants when he was running to see his Guru Maharaj. Krishna Ramas Chahiva Haya Krishna Manana Vyadi Hana Haya Puja Bhagavato Truma. The word Krishna Ramas Cha, well, that's a beautiful word, refer to one who takes pleasure in thinking of Krishna. Even though such a person may be a hunter, he is still worshipable and is the best of devotees. Wow. Ekavakta vyadera kata shuna savadane yahite haya satsanga mahimara gyane. I shall now narrate, this is the same story I just told, the story of how a hunter became a great devotee by association with such an exalted personality as Narada Muni. From this story, one can understand the greatness of association with a pure devotee. I'm trying to see something on the screen before we continue. I just want to make sure that everything is... let's see. Okay. Everything seems to be copathetic. Okay. So, now we're going to hear about the greatness of association with a pure devotee. And this is a wonderful story, which I told in brief, but now we'll hear the details. Ekadina Shri Narada Degi Narayana Shriveni Snane Prayaga Karila Gamana. Once upon a time, the great saint Narada, after visiting Lord Narayana and the Vaikunthas, went to Prayag to bathe at the confluence of the three rivers, the Ganges, Yamuna, and Sarasvati. So Prabhupada explains that the great saint Narada is so liberated that he can go to the Vaikuntha planets to see Narayana, and then immediately come to this planet and the material world and go to Prayag to bathe in the confluence of three rivers. The word Triveni refers to a confluence of three rivers. This confluence is still visited by many hundreds of thousands of people who go there to bathe especially during the Magh Mela, because that's the Magh Mela every few years is a Kumbh Mela, so the Magh Mela, which occurs during the month of January, the Kumbh Mela occurs after a period of time, and you get literally maybe 100 million people go to bathe during that particular time. A liberated person who has no material body can go anywhere and everywhere. Therefore, a living entity is called Sarvaga, which indicates that he can go anywhere and everywhere. Wow. Presently, scientists are trying to go to other planets, but due to their material bodies, they are not free to move at will. However, when one is situated in his original spiritual body, he can move anywhere and everywhere without difficulty. Within this material world, there's a planet called Siddhaloka, whose inhabitants can go from one planet to another without the aid of a machine or space rocket. In the material world, every planet has a specific advantage, vibhuti vinal. In the spiritual world, however, all the planets and their inhabitants are composed of spiritual energy. Because there are no material impediments, it is said that everything in the spiritual world is one. Because everybody's on the spiritual platform, not that they're all the same person. So, in other words, when one understands one's eternal spiritual nature, then one can move about in the material world without consideration of the material impediments, like time and space. Vanapate dehi mriga achibhumi pada vanavira bhajna parakari dan padi. Narada Muni saw that a deer was lying on the path through the forest and saw that it was pierced by an arrow. It had broken legs and it was twisting due to much pain. Arakatadore eka dekena shukura taiche vira vagna pada kare dhagpura. Farther ahead, Narada Muni saw a boar pierced by an arrow. Its legs were also broken and it was twisting in pain. Aicheyeka shashaka deke hara katature jivera duka deke narada yakula antare. When he went farther, he saw a rabbit that was also suffering. Narada Muni was greatly pained at heart to see living entities suffer so. Katature deke vyada vrikshe ontahana Mrigamaribare Achevana Yudhiya. When Narada Muni advanced further, he saw a hunter behind a tree. The hunter was holding arrows and he was ready to kill more animals. Shamavarna Ratanetra Mahavayankara Dhanuvana Hasteyena Yamadandatara. The hunter's body was black as she had reddish eyes, and he appeared fierce. It was as if the superintendent of death, Yamaraj, were standing there with a bow and arrows in his hands. Patachari Narada Tara Nikati Chalila Narade Degi Mrigasava Palana Gela. When Narada Muni left the forest path and went to the hunter, all the animals immediately saw him and fled. Krudahana vyada tanre galidite chaya narada prabhave muke kali nahi aya. When all the animals fled, the hunter wanted to chastise Narada with abusive language, but due to Narada's presence, he could not utter anything abusive. So Narada actually kept her from committing an offense by his words. Goshani prayana pata Chari kene aila tomate ki mora laksha mriga palaila. The hunter addressed Narada Muni, O Goswami, O great saintly person, why have you left the general path through the forest to come to me? Simply by seeing you, all the animals I was hunting have now fled. Narada kagi patabuli Anhana puchite manika sunshaya ta kandaite. Narada Muni replied, leaving the path, I have now come to settle a doubt that is in my mind. Pateye shukramrega janitamara haya vyadakahi yekaha seta nischeya. I was wondering whether all the boars and other animals that are half-killed belong to you, the hunter replied. Yes, what you're saying is so. Nardakahi yadi jive mara tume panna ardamara karakene nalau parana. Narada Muni then inquired, why did you not kill the animals completely? Why did you half kill them by piercing their bodies with arrows? Vyadakahi shunagoshani magari moranama tari shikshate amikari ache kama. Thunder replied, my dear saintly person, my name is Magrari, enemy of animals. My father taught me to kill them in that way. Ardamara jiva yadi dadpadakare tabeta anandamora vadaye anture. When I see half-killed animals suffer, I feel great pleasure. Ha ha. Nardakahi ekavastu magi tamarastana vyada kahi mrigadi laha ye tamara mane. Narada Muni then told the hunter, I have one thing to beg of you. The hunter replied, you may take whatever animals or anything else you would like. So the hunter was just projecting his own mentality upon Narada Muni. 25. Mriga chaila ka jahayadi aishamora gare ye chaha ta diva mriga yagrambare. I have many skins if you would like them. I shall give you either a deer skin or a tiger skin. Nardakahi iha ami kichu nahi chai arai kadana ami magi tumatani. Narada Muni said, I do not want any of the skins. I am asking only one thing from you in charity. Kalihaite tumiye mrikadi mariva pratame mariva hara marana kariva. I beg you, that from this day on you will kill animals completely and not leave them half dead. Yada kohi kibadana mangila amare ardamarila kibahaya ha kaha more. The hunter replied, my dear sir, what are you asking of me? What is wrong with these animals lying there half killed? Will you please explain this to me? Nardakahi ardamarile jivapaya vyata jive duka Ditecha tomara haiva aiche avasta. Narada Muni replied, if you leave the animals half dead, you are purposefully giving them pain. Therefore, you will have to suffer in retaliation. This is karma, of course. This is an authoritative statement given by the greatest authority, Narada Muni. If one gives another living entity unnecessary pain, even if you give a human being unnecessary pain, one will even mental pain, psychological pain, emotional pain. One will certainly be punished by the laws of nature with a similar pain. Although the hunter Magrari was uncivilized, he still had to suffer the results of his sinful activities. However, if a civilized man kills animals regularly in a slaughterhouse to maintain his so-called civilization, using scientific methods and machines to kill animals, one cannot even estimate the suffering awaiting him. So in other words, if one has knowledge or is civilized, one gets a greater reaction from someone who simply than someone does who is simply in ignorance. So-called civilized persons consider themselves very advanced in education, but they do not know about the stringent laws of nature. According to nature's law, it is a life for a life. We can hardly imagine the sufferings of one who maintains a slaughterhouse. But in his next life also, he endures suffering not only in this life, but in his next life also. It is said that a hunter, murderer, or killer is advised not to live and not to die. If he lives, he accumulates even more sins, which bring about more suffering in the future life. He's advised not to die, because his dying means that he immediately begins to endure more sufferings. Therefore, he is advised not to live and not to die. As followers of the Vedic principles, we accept the statements of Narada Muni in this regard. It is our duty to see that no one suffers due to sinful activities. Foolish rascals are described in the Bhagavad Gita as Mayaya Purita Jnanaha, Bhagavad Gita 7.15, which indicates that although they are superficially educated, Maya has taken their real knowledge away. Such people are presently leading human society. In Srimad Bhagavatam, they are described as Andayatanda Upaniyamana. That means the blind leading the blind. That's from Bhagavatam 7.5.31. These rascals are themselves blind, and yet they are leading others who are blind. When people follow such leaders, they suffer unlimited pains in the future. Despite so-called advancement, all this is happening. Who is safe? Who is happy? Who is without anxiety? Vyadatumi jivamara apa aparada tumara kadartana diamara e papa apara. Narada Muni continued, "By your heiser, your business is killing animals. That is a slight offense on your part. But when you consciously give them unnecessary pain by leaving them half dead, you incur very great sins. This is another good instruction to animal killers. There are always animal killers and animal eaters in human society because less civilized people are accustomed to eating meat. In the Vedic civilization, meat eaters are advised to kill an animal for the goddess Kali or a similar demigod. This is in order not to give the animal unnecessary pain, as slaughterhouses do. In the Balidhara sacrifice to a demigod, it is recommended to cut the throat of an animal with one slice. This should be done on a dark moon night, and the painful noises expressed by the animal at the time of being slaughtered are not to be heard by anyone. There are also many other restrictions. Slaughter is allowed only once a month, and the killer of the animal has to suffer similar pains in his next life. At the present moment, so-called civilized men do not sacrifice animals to a deity or in a religious or ritualistic way. They openly kill animals daily by the thousands for no purpose other than the satisfaction of the tongue. Because of this, the entire world is suffering in so many ways. Politicians are unnecessarily declaring war, and according to the stringent laws of material nature, massacres are taking place between nations." And so this is very appropriate for today's news, in relationship to today's news about Ukraine. So basically, this is a reaction. Wars are reactions to unnecessary slaughter and mistreatment of other living entities. And so we don't see so many of these wars in India because many people are vegetarians. So this is actually a very important point. And even in other religions, you actually find ritualistic ways of killing animals. I know in the religion I was brought up in, there's this thing called the law of kosher, which comes from the part of the Bible named Leviticus, which actually talks about the same thing, that when you kill an animal, it has to be done in the least painful way. And one has to be praying at the same time. There's certain prayers that are made, etc., like that, and therefore that is called kosher meat. Of course, better not to. Actually, there's more in this purport. I better keep reading. Prakute kriyamana anigunai karmani sarvashahan karavimudatma kartamiti panyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. That's Bhagavad Gita 3.27. The laws of prakriti of nature are very stringent. No one should think that he has the freedom to kill animals and not suffer the consequences. One cannot be safe by doing this. Narada Muni herein says that animal killing is offensive, especially when animals are given unnecessary pain. Meat eaters and animal killers are advised not to purchase meat from the slaughterhouse. They can worship Kali once a month, kill some unimportant animal and eat it. Even by following this method, one still is an offender. Of course, one will suffer less, but the suffering will still be there. Okay, so we'll stop sharing and allow you to take questions if you wish. And hold on a second. We have to allow you to unmute yourselves. So tomorrow we're going to continue with this story of McGuire the Hunter. And again, I'm asking all the devotees to pray for the welfare of the devotees in Ukraine. This morning in our GBC meeting, we were speaking to the leaders, the GBC, of different countries, GBCs, of different countries around Ukraine, and finding out what sort of arrangement they're making for the refugees, if and when the refugees come. So far, there haven't been many refugees coming. The reason being is that Ukraine is not allowing out of their country anybody who is between the age of like 16 and 60, or even more than 60, because they're conscripting. Conscripting means they're involuntarily bringing these people, every male, basically of fighting age, which is up to 60 or even more, so more than that, into their armies to fight against the Russians. And the ladies, most of the ladies don't want to leave their families. So it's a very difficult situation, with basically the whole country being conscripted, at least the male members being conscripted. But the devotees in the neighboring countries are preparing for the eventuality, the potential, that there may be a lot of refugees coming from Ukraine, devotee refugees and other refugees, and they're also preparing to distribute massive quantities of prasadam. No one can go into Ukraine. You can't send money into Ukraine right now, because the banks will not give money in Ukraine. So there's really very few ways that we can help at this particular juncture. And if there are any ways, we'll be informing the devotees. But the main way we can help is by praying to Lord Nishigadev for the protection of the devotees, protection of the temples, protection of the deities, protection of the yatra there, and hopefully this war will end soon, and it will not escalate and become a wider war that will involve more people and more devotees and people in general. Okay, so who has a question? You can ask a question about the Ukraine situation or a question about the class if you like. So you can raise your hand, type in the text window and the chat window, or unmute yourself.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev.
Hare Krishna, Rishikesh.
So, Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Yes. Is there a way to send a donation for food, for prasadam distribution there for the devotees in Ukraine?
Not yet. There's no way to get money in there. No way to get money in there right now. You can't enter the country, and everything, it's all cash basis right now. And you can't transfer money to a bank or anything like that. When there is, I will let the devotees know.
Yes, Gurudev, I would like to know that.
So they can help out. And when there's issues with refugees and feeding the refugees, we can talk about that too. Yep. But right now, let's just wait and see what happens with the devotees. And I think all we can do right now is pray. I mean, there's a number of countries surrounding Ukraine, as you're aware.
Right. You know,
there's Hungary, there's Poland, and there's a lot of Ukrainian devotees outside of Ukraine, too, who were working in Poland, like with the Polish festival. And there's a lot of Ukrainian people in the United States. So Ukraine is one of the largest countries in Europe. And it's a disaster what's happening right now. So if we can help the devotees there, that would be very nice. Okay, thank you for your offer. So who else has a question? You can unmute yourself or type in the text window. Ask a question about class, McGrory the Hunter, about the situation in Ukraine. Yes, we just pray to Lord Nrsingadev I mean, so far all the devotees are all right. The opposing army, the Russian army, seems to be mainly attacking, with some exceptions, mainly attacking the army bases and the navy bases, and they've killed a number of soldiers. But most of the devotees seem to be all right. So Mataji, Urmila Devi Das, you have a question?
Yeah, so how would you explain Narada's tactic of telling Magrari that killing animals wasn't so bad? How did he put it? It wasn't so bad to kill them all the way. You just don't, you know, that's okay.
Well, it's not that Narada was in favor. It's not that, that Narada was in favor of killing animals, but he wanted Magrari, you know, gradually, just like you have in the scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, which you're aware of, you know, there's injunctions that at least there's some sort of injunction about, you know, the laws of kosher, where you do it in a way that is not so cruel, so at least you're recognizing that animals have feelings. It's a step forward. That's how I would explain it. You know, you got to give something or instructions or guidance to someone that they can follow. You know, if Narada said to the Magrari right now, you should become a vegetarian, well, of course, he does convince Magrari later on, but not through his words, but through his, what we say, virtual reality experience. So it's, you know, gradually, you know. Like Prabhupada said to Shyamashundar when he was smoking cigarettes and carving Lord Jagannath at the same time, and even had a package of cigarettes on top of the carving that he was doing. He said, just smoke one cigarette less a day. So you just step by step, sometimes you have to just step by step deal with people doing different things. So that's one understanding. And of course, Narada Muni ultimately gets Magrari all the way there by giving him that virtual reality experience. Here's a question. When Srila Prabhupada said he wanted to establish Varnashram, does that include at some point that ISKCON will have our own military supporting devotees all over the world? That way when something happens like in Ukraine, we can roll in and protect our people? I don't think ISKCON is going to roll in against the Russian government and protect our people. I would say that we would have more. I don't see it happening right now. When we control governments, that's a different thing. But it's not that, you know, we're going to have these vigilantes in ISKCON just rolling in, you know, somehow or other, and protecting people. I think it has to be something that's based on actually controlling governments. Once there's Krishna conscious governments, that's a different thing. And how they'll deal with it, I mean, the politics of the situation is very, very difficult to understand how to deal with. And that is not my... Can ISKCON become a sovereign state? I mean, God, we're having revolutions amongst each other, you know. So, I don't think ISKCON will become a sovereign state. I think we will become the advisors for different countries, and there'll be Krishna-conscious countries. It's not going to be a country called ISKCON. I don't think there's going to be a country called ISKCON. I think there'll be many states that will be influenced by ISKCON or by the Krishna-conscious movement. Let's use a generic word instead of just saying ISKCON. I mean, first of all, we got to learn how to deal with each other. We have to become unified. We can't even agree whether there should be Vaishnavis as gurus or not. You know, let's agree on a few simple things, and then we talk about becoming a state. So, there's a question from Sam.
Hi. My question is there a difference between praying and chanting? Is chanting praying?
Chanting is praying. It's a type of praying. praying, you can pray without chanting. Of course, you can say praying is chanting, but praying, there are different types of prayers, but chanting specifically means chanting a certain mantra, or actually you can chant prayers too. So I guess that they overlap in many different ways. But the chanting is a prayer. What the chanting means, especially the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is that you're praying to God and to God's energy, Hare, to engage you in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Good question. Thank you for your question. So we're going to end now, because I have some programs tonight. And again, I'm asking you all to pray for the devotees and for everyone, and chant. You know, chant, pray, appeal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, in the nine processes of devotional service, praying is listed as something separate, but I think they overlap. Praying and chanting really overlap. So I'm asking you all to pray and chant for the welfare of the devotees and the welfare of everybody. The welfare of everybody in Ukraine and, in fact, the whole world. But this is a very, very difficult circumstance for many of our members in Ukraine and people in general in Ukraine. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. We'll see everybody tomorrow evening, same time, or tomorrow morning, depending where you are in the world. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.